You may be seated. And good morning. Oh, but let's start right there at the beginning of the gospel message. To what does Jesus compare the kingdom of God in today's parables? Who can list all five? Well, we have the mustard seed, right? Then there was the yeast. There was a treasure hidden in a field, a merchant in search of fine pearls, and then a fish net. That's the funnest one, isn't it? I got to say thank you, Jesus, for being thorough here, and thank you, those who put together the Revised Common Lectionary, for not giving me something more specific to preach on. So here we go with all five. But it's safe to say God does have a sense of humor here. The very first image, for example, where the kingdom of God is compared to a mustard seed is more problematic than we tend to notice. One of the first things they teach you there at preacher school when you take in a class focusing on the gospels is that mustard is a weed. So to say that it becomes the greatest of shrubs is as ironic as Reno being known as, what is it, the biggest little city in the world? Or Warhol describing himself as a deeply superficial person. Or someone else whose name leaves me at the moment that the budget was limitless, but I exceeded it. So to call a bush a tree is comical to the working the earth class of people. No farmer would choose to keep weeds around long enough for them to grow as large as a tree. Even that wheat farmer from last week, he didn't have mustard in there growing together with his crop. It was a useless plant for all intents and purposes. It was something that we normally wouldn't find any value in. And then thank you, Jesus, for putting us in our place and showing us that it becomes a nesting place. It becomes the home for all the birds of the year. I mean, aren't they a beautiful and valuable part of creation? Just the other day down at Bar Beach, Romy turned her back and there was a bag of goldfish sitting there. Luckily, the flying rat dropped it after just a few short feet. And then when we moved to Roscoe and full-time, Pastor Romy and I, we bought a bird feeder because that's what you do when you move into your forever home, isn't it? You feed the wildlife. But it seems like I had to wash my car a lot more often than I used to. But lest we digress, this is what the kingdom of God is like, Jesus says. This mustard plant, this weed. But what is it that Jesus is really trying to say here? Then there's another scandalous comparison when he says that the kingdom of God is like yeast. You know, at that time, yeast didn't come in a neat little Fleischmann's package like it does now. The whole process was a lot messier. A rotting, molding chunk of bread dough would be mixed in. So the kingdom of God then is like a rotting piece of bread. I mean, isn't that illustration almost kind of offensive? I remember when we were paying off the medical bills from Victoria's birth, $13,000 in total, we had to start being slightly more frugal. We started cutting sponges in half, much to the chagrin of Grandma here. Started making yogurt in the crock pot in our own chicken stock, which is so much better than anything you can buy in the store. Making our own soaps, but I had to put my foot down when Pastor Romy said, we can make our own sourdough. My background from working at Atlanta Bread Company told me sourdough is not something that they trusted with us in those stores because, you know, sourdough comes frozen, right? Yeah, even when you go to Panera Bread, it's frozen and they just toss it in the oven and warm it up. They didn't trust us because if you make a mistake in the process of making sourdough, guess what happens? Silence. She described the process of making this dough for sourdough bread, and it sounds like what happens when a basement gets wet and stuff starts growing where it should not be growing. I told Romy, we'll just go to the store and buy sourdough bread if you want it so bad. But if you would like to bake regular bread, we can do that. but I wasn't going to have that stuff in my house. Outrageous. But goodness, it helps us to discover that God's reign takes place in unexpected, by our standards at least, and often shocking ways. And as if we didn't have enough to digest with this fermenting bread, Jesus continues by talking about a guy who, while plowing a field, all of a sudden hits something hard. Let's picture this. He's behind the plow, hitting what he thinks is a rock. The handle of the plow goes into his stomach, leaves a nice bruise there. He's not a happy camper by any means. Bends down to see what it was, expecting to find a nice rock. But soon realizes what he hit is indeed not, but instead a hidden treasure worth a fortune. And to this treasure, Jesus compares the kingdom of God. I mean, who hasn't dreamed of digging a hole in your backyard as an adult and finding a jar of money that someone stashed away because they didn't trust the banks? I mean, every child at some point, sooner or later, draws a treasure map, don't they? I mean, Veronica has 3 or 4 of them rolled up at home. Now what to do? What to do? This guy must have this field because he's just farming it. He doesn't own it. So he leaves the plow as it is, runs down to the PW, Federal Credit Union, sells all he got, goes back to the owner of the field and asks, how much would you like for that field out there? Believe it or not, I'd like to buy it. Did he tell the owner of the field why he wanted to buy it? No, he just keeps it a secret because everything is at stake. Salvation is at stake. And Jesus, cheering him on, telling him to go for the gold, to risk, to plot, to get a plan to acquire that field, grab that treasure. The kingdom of God belongs to people like these, to people like you and to me. And so it is with the parable of the pearl, where yet again everything is sold in order to get that precious pearl. Go sell your possessions and you will have the treasure in heaven, because this is not Japan at the World Showcase at Epcot, where everyone gets a pearl when you choose an oyster there. Go sell what you have and the kingdom of God will be yours. Go as you are, be disciples. And while being followers of Jesus, make other followers as well. Because Jesus, as it turns out, and as he so often does, turns our anticipations, our presuppositions upside down and surprises us with the unexpected, shocks us with the unpredictable, and calls us out of our comfort zones. And quite frankly, beloveds, Jesus makes us feel uncomfortable today because not one person there listening to Jesus could not relate to one of those stories and imagine themselves, whichever character they may have fit in closest with. And you and I might even get even more uncomfortable as Jesus uses the example of fishing while talking about the separation scene at the end of times. I got all sorts of questions now. Where do I belong? Outside or inside? A good fish or a garbage fish? Treasure in heaven or out there in the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth? Funny story, just this past week, Dad and I went down to the town dock where there were two, probably all of 18-year-old boys, and listen at me, sound like I'm getting old. Now, they were evidently fishing for the very first time because the rod and reel was brand new, and they didn't have a clue what they were doing. But they went down there expecting to catch a nice, pretty fish. You expect to see like a striper or something, don't you? They cast out there. I mean, they took up a lot of space, if you can imagine, to cast a pole out there. And guess what they reeled in? A sea robin, yes, to their disappointment, and it was hilarious. And it was even funnier watching them try to get the thing off the hook. Now, I couldn't help myself because they looked like they belonged on Jersey Shore, so in the most southern voice I could muster, I shouted, "Grab it!" And without missing a beat, and in quite possibly the thickest Staten Island accent I have heard in a long time, said, "You do it." Now bear in mind, I'd only seen these fish from a distance, and I have not yet touched one at this point. Have you seen the spikes on those things? They even have them on the gills there, so you can't really even grab them. But the fish that most people consider a junk fish, after yesterday, we have decided it tastes delicious. Because 2 days after that, Dad and I went fishing and we brought home 22 of the things and cleaned them and deep fried them. And oh boy, the kingdom of God, boy is it like. Anyways, who wants to be declared guilty? We don't even like to be self-critical at times. So in no way do we want to think about the good fish and the garbage fish, because Jesus is likening our preconceived notions to the knowledge that some fish are good and others are bad and are cast out. Jesus is relating this to humanity, to us, that thing we are a part of. But after all, isn't this our gospel message? Well, if it is, Jesus says, go for it. The gospel belongs to those who take guts to stake it all on the treasure. Seek it. Let it change you. Far too often we sell out too quickly. We settle for too little, it seems. And in doing so, we may miss God's purpose for something we consider a nuisance plant. Might miss the hidden treasure of the kingdom of God, overlook that pearl in the market. We might miss out on some delicious sourdough, and our calling is the few to reach out to the many. And to pass up, as the Korean gentleman at the pier who taught Granddaddy and I how to clean one of those spiny sea robins, a delicious morsel, as he explained it. We got a risk. Plot. We have to seek the pearl, find the treasure, Jesus tells us, because there is so much at stake when it comes to us and to God's kingdom that to not seek and to seize at every moment would be to not live into our calling as disciples of Christ, because the kingdom of God may not always come out as appearing to succeed in this world, especially when it comes to some of our leaders, but God has it under control, and in the end, God is going to sort things out according to the scripture, and we have to place our whole selves and our whole trust in God, that through our hands the work of the Lord will continue here and now in this place and around the world. And one of these days we pray and we believe and we know all that is just and holy, those whose hearts and minds seek out the desires and knowledge of God, great is going to be their reward. So we must not hesitate to rely solely on Jesus, solely on the Spirit, solely on God. Because for us here today, the kingdom of heaven is something we must seek out so that we may stand a chance in finding it. For just as Jesus taught, and when we find it, oh my goodness, the joy that's going to end up filling our souls. The treasure will bring about the bliss that empowers us to rise up against the difficulties in lives, the struggles that we face as individuals, families, communities, as a nation and a world. For we experience the kingdom of God here with one another in this community, where we're all welcomed at the table, where none of society's labels limit anyone in any capacity. And the more we are taught, the more we learn, because no matter how old we are, we should never stop learning, the more we're going to end up growing, the better witnesses of God's kingdom here on earth that we will become. So much so that every fiber of our being will beam with the Spirit of God, our words, our actions. They will do nothing other than to build up the kingdom of heaven instead of trying to tear it down. And those who are just and holy and have a heart and a mind that seek out the desires and the knowledge of God, great will be the reward. Rise to the challenge. Take hold of the treasure of that pearl, beloveds, for life is too short in this world not to make the best out of it, so that we may have strived to try to return God's creation to the perfection that God created both it and us to be. So let's look higher. Let's aim farther. Let's be bolder in our faith. Can we do that? Can we be bolder and, more importantly, never lose the trust of the Lord that we hold in our hearts and in our minds? Amen? Amen. Thanks be to God. And as we prepare to go out into the world, and as we remember the promise that God has given to us to never leave us abandoned, to never leave us alone, let's rise as we sing our closing hymn, Hymn of Promise.